Hello, it's Scott Manley here. This video is shot from the Orion capsule at the end of the Artemis 1 mission during re-entry. It was released a few weeks ago and it is magnificent to watch. I especially like the fact that they include the audio so you can hear the sound of the thruster firings and you can also hear the sound of the re-entry heating. The spacecraft is returning from the moon at over 11 kilometers per second. That means that in terms of kinetic energy, each kilogram has about 60 megajoules of energy. That's 15 times the energy content of TNT. That's a lot of energy to dissipate, and that is why it's making the air around it glow so brightly. In fact, it's a good thing that the air is what is glowing brightly, because that means that the spacecraft is dumping its excess energy into the air rather than into the contents, which in future missions will include people, and they don't tend to accommodate that energy particularly well. The spacecraft can of course handle this because it has a large ablative heat shield. So now people look at spacecraft re-entering the atmosphere and the inherent dangers, and I often get asked, isn't there any way for us to avoid this? Can't we stop the spacecraft so that when it re-enters the atmosphere, it's not having to handle this amount of energy? And there are two basic ideas that get pitched to me by well-meaning individuals who aren't rocket scientists. First of all, can we slow down the spacecraft in orbit so that it comes down at a lower speed? Secondly, couldn't you have a winged vehicle like a space shuttle, but one that's designed to stay up high above the dense atmosphere, lifting it up there while it slows down, and once it's slowed down enough, only then does it descend through the denser part of the atmosphere, and therefore avoid the most intense portion of the re-entry. And so I want to address both these ideas, and hopefully in the process, give people a grounding for why this isn't actually possible. And in the process, I hope you'll learn perhaps a little more about the re-entry physics. So yeah, let's start out with the easy one. Why can't you just slow down in space and then just fall through the atmosphere at a lower speed? And the reason is the rocket equation. So if you are in orbit, you're moving about 7.5 kilometers per second, you want to slow down a whole lot before you hit the atmosphere. Say you want to slow down by about 5 kilometers per second, so you're only moving 2.5 kilometers per second. That is 5 kilometers per second of delta V. Now, if you use the same kind of engine that the Dragon capsule used, the Draco thrusters, those get a specific impulse of 300 seconds. That means 1 kilogram of propellant can produce 1 kilogram of thrust for 300 seconds. And if you put this performance into the rocket equation, then it suggests that you need a wet to dry mass ratio of about 5.25. So if you have a 10-ton spacecraft, you need to add about 42.5 tons of propellant so that it can slow down by 5 kilometers per second. And so look, while that's a lot, it's not ridiculous. You could probably put 50 tons of payload on top of a Falcon Heavy and get it to orbit, assuming you want to fully expand the Falcon Heavy. So given this equation, I'm sure it's now really obvious why you would go with a heat shield that masses a few hundred kilograms over the alternative, which is 40 tons of propellant. So that's the easy one to answer. The harder one to answer is why you can't just glide above the atmosphere for a long period of time. And interestingly, we come to the point in the video where Orion has skipped out of the atmosphere to let its heat shield cool down again before it's going to dip in for a second and final time. But it does actually illustrate an important concept. If you're in a highly eccentric, you know, high energy orbit, you can slowly reduce your orbit by grazing the atmosphere using aerobraking. But you can only do this slowly to a point. Once you start reducing your orbital velocity below like low Earth orbit, at that point you're going to start falling inexorably towards the Earth, deeper and deeper into the atmosphere. You can't slow this down anymore. You have to actually, you know, commit to re-entry. So basic physics tells us that the centrifugal force, and I'm using your finger quotes around the word force, is V squared divided by the radius. And so you subtract that from the gravitational acceleration, that tells you what the net force is. So if you want to avoid falling deeper into the atmosphere using aerodynamic lift, you have to offset this extra acceleration. So for aircraft, one of the ways you measure the performance, the amount of lift that it can generate, is what's called the lift to drag ratio. That tells you that you can produce a certain amount of lift, but in return, you have to generate a certain amount of drag. And so for a typical light aircraft like I fly, the ratio is about 10 to 1. So you get 10 kilos of lift for 1 kilogram of drag. Modern airliners are designed for efficiency and performance, and they will get lift-to-drag ratios of about 20 to 1 in some cases. And the best gliders might even get as high as 50 to 1, which is amazingly efficient. Now, for the Space Shuttle Forever, it was famously not a great glider, and on final approach, it would have a lift-to-drag of about 4.5 to 1, which is not bad considering it's a brick. But as it went up through supersonic and into hypersonic speeds, its lift drag would drop to about 2 to 1, and during the initial parts of entry, its lift drag ratio was about 1 to 1. And by the way, space capsules typically have lift drag ratios of less than 1, which means they do generate some lift, but it's mostly drag. So now, applying this lift to counteract the force of gravity, you can figure out the amount of drag that's generated. And so if you know the amount of drag being generated, well, drag is a force. And one of the definitions of energy is force multiplied by distance. So you know how fast you're going, you know how much lift you need to generate, therefore how much drag you're generating, therefore how much energy is going into your aircraft as it tries to carefully glide down through the atmosphere. So I can plot this on a table and show that for even moderate values of lift, you're still generating kilowatts of power for every kilogram of spacecraft. You can also do a bit of calculus, by the way, to show that the peak heating occurs at about 4.5 kilometers per second. And at that point, if you've got a lift drag of 1 to 1, then the spacecraft will get so hot that aluminium will melt in about 30 seconds. So what happens if you improve the lift-to-drag ratio? Well, that means you've got less drag, so you're decelerating less slowly. That means you're dissipating less energy. Now, over time, you still have to dissipate the same amount of energy, but the longer you take to do it, the more time you have to radiate away excess energy by thermal radiation. So thermal radiation goes according to the black body radiation law, which the amount of energy radiated is specifically covered by the Stefan-Boltzmann law, which says that for a given temperature, you emit energy proportional to the fourth power of the temperature, right? So if you double the temperature of a surface, you increase the amount of heat that it's emitting by a factor of 16. Or to put it another way, if we want to cut the temperature of the spacecraft in half, we need to increase the lift-to-drag ratio by a factor of 16. And unfortunately, I found this analysis on the absolute, you know, theoretical limits of lift drag at, you know, Mach 20. And for something the size of the space shuttle, it's expected to be around the region of 4. So that might actually get you a reduction of up to 30% in terms of temperature. But it's really not going to be enough. You're still going to be surrounded by hot re-entry plasma. And consider that, how would you make something like the space shuttle more aerodynamic, produce more lift? Well, the space shuttle has these small, stubby, thick wings because these wings have like large radius of curvature. If you wanted to stretch the wings out and make them thin and sharp so that they get better lift, well, it turns out that the tighter the curvature of any surface on a spacecraft, the more re-entry heating that gets. So pointy things get hotter than round things. The way this works is that if your surface is blunt, then the air piles into it, but the air forms a sort of cushion that pushes out the shock further and further from the surface, the more the larger the radius of curvature. And it goes as like a factor of the square root of the radius. And that is something that's actually looked at. Obviously, space capsules, if you look at the bottom, they are segments of a sphere which are fairly large, and that helps to a certain extent. But interestingly, when you're building spacecraft, you have to put them on top of a rocket, and you can't make them really that much wider than the rocket they're sitting on. So instead, if you want to really reduce the impact of re-entry heating, you can use an inflatable heat shield, something that expands out. And there was an experiment in recent years called the Low Earth Orbit Flight Test of an Inflatable Decelerator, or LOFTED. This actually flew. It was a secondary payload on an Atlas V mission, and it demonstrated the ability to get into orbit, to inflate and perform the deceleration, and then got recovered from the ocean. And this is something that is being pitched by United Launch Alliance to recover the engine segments of their Vulcan rocket. But equally, it would be useful for many other applications. In particular, landing on Mars, there's definite problems with Martian atmosphere being so thin, and they could really benefit from having a much larger heat shield. So now, applying this back to the idea of a spacecraft that doesn't need a heat shield, well, if you had a spacecraft where the surface was sufficiently large, then the stagnation layer where all the heating occurs would be far enough away from the surface that you wouldn't have to worry about it damaging the spacecraft. But then, instead of flying a space plane back from orbit, it would be more like flying a space zeppelin. Which on the face of it sounds ridiculous, but there are people who have legitimately suggested concepts for a space zeppelin-based launch vehicle. Yeah, JP Aerospace have been pitching airship to orbit. Their design is more like a V-shaped airship that acts as a lifting body as well. And their math suggests that it might just be possible to accelerate such a design slowly to orbital velocity and then have it come back slowly. And I'd love to see them give this a go. But yeah, the original point of this video was that re-entry heating is just something that you have to deal with. There's no easy way to get around it either by using propulsion or by using aerodynamics. I'm Scott Manley. Fly safe.